You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 184. What's going on? I am Matt O'Leary with Mitch Anderson. Mitch, what's up, buddy?
So I told you I had kind of a comically frustrating day today.
Yes.
And let me get into it real brief here. It's the weather is weird. This is all weather dependent, or the story is anyways. It was really nice and warm this morning, like +2 Celsius. So I'm like, you know what? I'm a hardcore snow manager. So I'm getting out there and I'm shoveling snow into my south facing driveway. The sun's out. There's not a cloud in the sky. I'm like, this is going to melt a ton of snow. Awesome. Let's get rid of some snow while I can. Throw it on the driveway, pop in the shower, thinking by the time I get out of the shower, a lot of it will have been melted and I'll throw some more out. This is great. I'm going to get 2 melts in like hours. Well, maybe not hours. In like half an hour. Pop out of the shower. Clouds everywhere. It's completely over, like cloudy now. And I'm going, what the hell happened? And then the snow starts falling. And it hasn't stopped. That was 10:30 this morning. It is 9:11. It's been snowing for at least 12 hours now.
I'm sorry.
So I had to shovel snow. I had previously shoveled into a spot back onto the driveway and then shoveled it back into where it was again. I'm sure if any of my neighbors were watching, they're laughing at me.
That's a tough go, Mitch. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. I'm sorry to hear that, man. That's a slap in the face to start your day.
A self-slap in the face for sure.
That's quite
all
right.
What's going on with you, man?
Nothing that interesting. Regular old work day. Just doing the thing. And, well, I'm excited to get into some New York Islanders hockey, Mitch. But we have something to talk about before we do that. Eyes on Isles, or support for Eyes on Isles, is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. They obsess over their technology developments to provide you the best tools for your grooming experience. Manscaped is trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. 2 million! We have an exclusive offer for all of you beautiful people out there. Fan-sided 20 gets you 20% off and free shipping over at manscaped.com. You can pick yourself up something nice. Mitch is very keen on the Lawnmower 3.0. I have the cologne that they sent me right here next to me. Tremendous. Ooh. It smells great. It's not like a, you know, sixth grade Axe body spray in the locker room kind of smell. It's a nice smelling cologne. So if you want that, if you want to go with one of the tools, it's good stuff over there.
Yeah, so I have the 3.0. I had the whole perfect package, right? Perfect package 3.0 that I got.
Yeah, yeah.
That came with the boxers, and I'm wearing them now. They are super comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. Love them. Obviously, the trimmer is great for anyone who's, you know, like shaking, trying to make sure they don't cut themselves, and then obviously they do cut themselves.
Happens.
This does not. And an LED light. Oh, my God. When I had the LED, I saw the LED light come on. Game changer moment. That was just mind blown.
Once,
love it.
You can't go back once you make that switch. So head on over to manscaped.com, use the promo code fansided20 and save yourself 20% off and free shipping. So let's get into episode 184, Mitch. We are going to start with an unfortunate injury. Michael Del Cole on the shelf on IR now with an undisclosed injury. And it couldn't have come at a worse time for him because, well, he was coming into a nice little role there on the third line.
Yeah, he's been playing well. The points aren't necessarily there, right, outside of that 1-2-point game that he's got. I think that was like 2 or 3 days ago, or 2 or 3 games
yeah.
ago, I should say. It's not even in his last 5 games. Oof. Okay. Oh, boy. But he's maybe not putting up the points, but he's playing well, right? Like, same thing with Oliver Wahlstrom. We can't be like, Wally's playing so well, and like only has 1 point in his last like 5, I think, and not the same thing for Michael Del Cole. Which is true, Del Cole has been playing well, and then he blocks a shot against Buffalo, and he's out.
Yeah, unfortunately, that was the thing to do it. And like you said, the point production isn't necessarily there, just the 2 points. But I'll say this about Del Cole. He's much more noticeable when he's on the ice. So the running joke was always that he'll you know, exist for 10 minutes a night and not give you too much one way or the other. But to his credit, I feel like we got to be fair, Mitch. We have to, you know, show both sides here. And we've been critical of him. But when he deserves it, we're going to give him the praise. same with any player, and he was playing well. You know, obviously would have liked to probably get in the lineup a little bit more than what he was at before the injury. And the thing that worries me slightly is if he'll be able to come back and hit that same pace, or if this is going to be a setback and put him back towards the mean.
Right, because this is all about building momentum, right? And it's not to say that he can't recreate this, because it's not like he was doing anything magical out there. It just seemed that he found his role, and he was executing his role to the degree that Barry Trotz would expect him to do it. It's not to say that he's putting up a bunch of points, because clearly he's not, but he's playing the role well, and that matters in a Barry Trotz system. Like, you have to play the role you're given, and if you play it well, things start working well for you and the rest of the team. That's what was happening with Michael Del Col.
Right.
Now that he's got this injury setback, how long he's out, how long is it going to take him to get back to where he was, even just physically, right? Like, he's going to still have to rehab from this injury, whatever it is, at least to a certain degree, and then to build himself back into the role that he was in, assuming someone else hasn't usurped him for that. Like, Thomas Hickey isn't playing professional hockey right now for a few reasons, but one of the being Devontae stepping in when he got injured. Right?
Yep.
And so, like, if you have another guy step in and take your role from you, it's like, well, we can't give it to someone to get back to you. This guy's playing too well. Sorry, you're sitting on the shelf.
And sometimes that happens. Like, someone could be playing well and then an injury happens. Like, you don't want to give up that chance, I think, is the point that we were trying to make here. And Del Col has gotten his opportunity. You know, early in the year, they were riding with Ross Johnston. That experiment's ended. And Del Col's been playing well in that role, but he was even up on the second line a little bit. And again, the point production not necessarily there, but his game, you definitely saw a difference in his game. And we just don't know if when he's healthy, if he'll go right back into the lineup. It depends on what happens in these next few games.
Right. As it stands today, I expect him back in the lineup.
Correct.
We'll see, right, because they're playing Boston, and then they play twice against Pittsburgh on Saturday, Sunday. That can change things, but as it stands now, he's back in the lineup, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would think so, of course, and it's only been one or two games, so it's not like enough of a sample size to really go give you one way or the other. I think it's been two. We got one game of Leo Komarov and one game of Austin Zarnik.
His last, came on February 16th against Buffalo.
There you go.
So there was the one against which one am I thinking here? The
Pittsburgh
games.
Pittsburgh and then Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. So he's missed twice. We haven't seen much from the other guys, so we'll see. Although Zarnik, I think, could play the role, could play it well. It did not seem to mesh well with him and Wahlstrom. Like, they don't seem to work well in the same line.
Yeah, so let's transition and talk about just what the lines could look like due to this injury, and then we'll get into that. So the last time out, the Islanders went with an all-righty third line in Zarnik, Pageau, and Wahlstrom, which I was surprised with. Like, I thought there was a chance Zarnik could go into a lineup, but I thought, okay, the chance of them putting three righties in a row like that, I wasn't necessarily buying it, but they rolled with it, and I don't think Zarnik was nearly as effective as he was in his debut early in the year.
He was okay, but it seemed like he was stepping on Oliver Wahlstrom's toes, right? Like, there was couple of plays where he's, like, jamming into Wahlstrom's lane. And there's the one particularly, he comes in and, like, literally takes the puck off his stick and fires it wide from the net. And you're going, I'd rather the guy who has the world-class shot take that shot, Austin. I understand you had speed and you're going into zone, but you had speed going out of the slot. Wahlstrom is going into the slot, maybe not with speed, but he's also got that shot. So he's in an area and the shot. You don't have the shot and you're out of the area. Why are you taking that play? It just, I did not like that at all.
No, yeah, I didn't like it. It seemed like there was no chemistry there. And, I mean, it was only their first game playing together, so I'm not going to, you know, beat them over the head for it. I don't think that's necessarily fair. But there were definitely times where it looked like they were going to the same place at the same time, and it's like, this can't work. We can't have two people carrying the puck at the same time.
No, and that's why you saw that third line not really be effective. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, Pageau and Wahlstrom scored, but that was on the power play. Not the same thing.
Exactly, not the same thing. And I would say, yeah, that at 5-on-5, they were probably weakest line.
I would say so, and that's saying a lot because Pageau was playing well.
Right, and I don't think they necessarily had a bad line in that game. Just comparatively, it looked like something was off too. Like, I think that's what we're trying to get at here.
Exactly. That's exactly what we're getting at. So how would you change, or would you change the lineup, considering, let's assume Michael Dalcol is not back for the next one or for another couple of games? How do you ride the lineup going forward?
I like Zarnek, so I would like to keep him in the lineup, but I want to play with the lines a little bit. So I think I would move Bailey to the left side on line two, put Oliver Wahlstrom up there, and then have a third line of Beauvillier, Pageau, and Zarnik.
Ooh, okay. Well, that's not... I was doing the raise the roof here because I thought you were going to do exactly what I did. But I went top line the same, second line, Bo, Nelson, Wahlstrom, third line, Zarnik, or sorry, Bailey, Pageau, Zarnik. Oh, I don't think Bailey is deserved to stay on the top and the top six.
In the top six. Okay, so I'm putting Bo in the on the third line. You're putting Bailey on the third line instead. Yeah. Okay.
The moves are basically the same, right? It's you're putting Wahlstrom away from Zarnik. You're putting him in a top six role. Hopefully, like, okay, well, you've done well up to this point. You've earned that next step. Let's see if what you do in a more offensive situation. Not total offense, because we're talking about the second line here, but we're giving you a more offensive role with some better offensive players. Let's see how you do.
Yeah, I definitely think he has earned that opportunity. And just hearing Barry Trotz talk about him, it seems like he is very confident in how he's been playing. Like, the production hasn't been there, but I think I'm trying to think of the word that he used. The pressure or force that he puts. He was essentially saying every time he's on the ice, he's putting, you know, pressure on the defense with his play, which is true.
And that's, yeah, and that's what you want to see. Like, he's playing well off the puck. And that was our main concern, not even ours, but the Islanders' main concern for Wahlstrom's. How well would he play off the puck? Even his coach in Sweden was like, he's not that great off the puck. Or if he can learn anything, it's to be better away from the puck.
Yeah.
But it seems that he's okay with that. He's fine. He may not be the greatest defensive player, but I don't think any of us are hoping he turns out to be Bergeron. And, and if you are, give your head a shake.
Right. I also think Barry said something to the effect of he hasn't killed us defensively yet or something like that, which is great. But I don't see him as a problem defensively. It's not like, oh my God, like that, what is he doing in the defensive zone? He holds his own.
Yeah, it's a very Michael Dalcol experience, right? Like, if Michael Dalcol had an album and it would be called the Michael Dalcol Experience, it would all be just like beep, just absolute flat. No negatives, no positives. And for Wahlstrom, there's no negative in the D zone. There's none. There's a lot of positive in the O zone. And that's why I think, and I'm sure you would say the same because you did, he deserves that jumps to at least the second line if they're going to be playing with the top six to kind of flip things around.
Correct.
I'm fine keeping him there on the third line.
Yeah, no, correct. And I think as much as I would love to say, oh, put him up with Matt Barzal, I just don't think that's going to happen. And also, I think the Lee-Barzal-Eberle line's been good, so I don't know if I want to mess with that too much.
That's it. I prefer the fit of Wahlstrom, Barzal, and Lee. I really do. You got a pass-first center instead of a shoot-first center like Nelson. So for a guy like Wahlstrom, that's like putting, if you're looking at the NBA, like Russell Westbrook and what's his name, the guy, James Harden, together, two guys, it didn't really work, right? Like, two guys who just want the ball all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, there's only one ball. How are we going to make this work? So, like, I could see how it works better with Barzal. It's just, like you say, that line has worked so well and it's dominant for the Islanders. Why are we going to break it? That there's no reason to break this right now with a guy who we're not sure he can do it yet.
Right.
Let's build this guy into it, right? Like, instead of like throwing him to the wolves.
And that was kind of my thought process of keeping Josh Bailey on that second line, because of his playmaking abilities. And I would say that Beauvillier he's a good passer too, but I see that more as Bailey's strength, as Beauvillier is kind of more well rounded, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I would not disagree with that statement at all. It's just, I think for me is, I haven't seen enough from Josh Bailey to warrant that position.
Okay.
And this is kind of a shot at Bailey, who I'm a big fan of.
Yep.
Look at my Twitter profile. But like, he needs to be bumped down to be like, Bailey, I need to see a little bit more from you, bud. You're going to go down to the third line. That's not much of a demotion. You're still playing with Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and you'll play with Austin Zarnik, who's not a terrible player.
No.
That's not awful. And like, he'll still be tinkering around and all over the place. I'm sure he'll hold his place on the power play as well as the PK, as much as I don't think he should.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think that's kind of where we're at here with the lines, because I don't think they could run back that third line of Zarnik, Pajot, and Wallstrom. Or I'd be surprised if they did.
I'm sure they will. Honestly, I really think they will. But I don't think they should, clearly, because I said so. But like, yeah, because I didn't like how they played together. Like you said, it's like there is no chemistry there. They didn't really understand how each one, like they just being specifically Zarnik and Wallstrom, really were operating. And there was a lot of stepping on toes that you just can't have. And I mean that specifically in the offensive zone.
Yes.
In the D zone, they seemed fine. But in the O zone, which is where Wallstrom makes his bread and butter, mm-hmm. he's getting his footsteps on. And he's abdicating, right? Because we're talking about 20-year-old Zarnik compared to 21-year-old Wallstrom. He's going to abdicate. He's going to, all right, well, you're the vet. So, like, okay. It's like, you can't have that.
Yeah, no, it's tough. Anything else on the Dal Col injury or what they're going to do with the lineup before we move on?
Did you ever see yourself having this discussion of being like, oh, Michael Dal Col's out, how do we juggle the roster?
No, I wrote that in the pre-show article. I was kind of saying, like, we're at a point where it's tough that they're missing Michael Dal Col, which I don't know. I didn't think so. Honestly, I didn't, because I always looked at him as a replacement level player, but to be completely honest with you, he was playing a nice role on that third line. So yeah, they are going to miss him.
Yeah. And that's great to see. Gus Dal Col is going to hit that unblock buddy and fire off a tweet and then block again. Of course.
I hope so. I would love to. Yeah. I would love to eat crow on Michael Dal Col.
Yeah. So far I wouldn't, but, He's done well, and I'm glad. And obviously, I don't think anyone's gonna be like, "Damn it, Dal Col!" That would be rude. But like, it's good to see him in performing, and hopefully, it starts clicking. Because at the start of the year, I wrote a piece saying like, "This could be his year, man. This could be Dal Col's year. Third year is when he figures it out. Let's go."
Contrary to popular belief, I'm not rooting against the players on the Islanders. I would like them all to be good. I know that might sound crazy to some people, but yeah, that's the truth.
There you go.
Let's get into Semyon Varlamov, Mitch, because he's been excellent for the New York Islanders, and you found some interesting numbers to show that.
So first, just some basic goalie numbers. He's, as of before games today, so today is Wednesday, so you're going to hear this probably Thursday. So before the Wednesday slate of games, Varley was ranked fifth for save percentage, fourth... Sorry, I wrote save percentage twice. fifth for goals against average, fourth for save percentage, first tied in shutouts, and is tied for fourth for wins at eight. And okay, that's for all goalies who started at least 10 games in the NHL.
That's good.
And that's a lot. That's a number of goalies, right? But outside of that, He's great. His average right now, he's a .927 save percentage and a .206 goals against average. Wild. Those are Vezina numbers, including all the things I just listed out here.
Correct.
What I thought was happening with Varlamov is that he was playing above his weight, right? Like, he's playing so well right now, I would expect that some of these more hardcore analytics would say, yeah, he's doing well, but he's doing better than we expect him to. But that's not the case. So, like, Jay Fresh tweets out the top 10 on February 23rd, so that's yesterday. The top 10 in terms of goals saved above expected leaders, he's not anywhere there. The lowest one here is Connor Hellebuyck at 4.3 goals saved above what they expect him to be saving. So that means Varley isn't out there, like, denying goals that should be going in. He's playing essentially as expected, and that's incredible.
Yeah, no, I think that also shows you how good the Islanders' defensive structure is, too. That they're not giving him a ton of, like, it has to be the highlight reel save, where he is making the saves that he has to, but it's not like he's going completely bananas out there making, like, Jonathan Quick acrobatic saves.
Well, exactly. That's just it, right? So they're playing their strength, and it's showing, and he's able to perform up to that strength, right? Like, he's able to give them what they need, get them the save they need when they need it, knowing that, okay, the defense, the system's going to collapse at some point. Something bad is going to happen. There's going to be a quality shot go off, and he's got to be there to stop it, and he's doing that.
Yeah, totally. And I don't know about you, but I'm not super surprised with this, because when you looked at what he did last year. When this team was healthy, he was excellent. He was a 920 save percentage goalie, and then they got injured and that number dipped. And then in the playoffs, when they were healthy again, he was tremendous. He was what, 927, something like that?
I believe so. I had them here.
Sorry.
It's at the bottom of the article. God, where did it go? Okay, held a 921 save percentage and 2.14 goals against average in 20 games during the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, 20 games, that's a big sample size. That's half a season for a goalie.
Right, but that's a 20 game in the playoffs, right? So, like, it tells you how far the Islanders have been able to go with that type of goaltending. And obviously, we all know they went to the Eastern Conference Finals. But someone who's just tuning in or checking in on that, you're going, whoa, there's a lot more here than just, like, he's just really good right now. It's not. He's been good for a while.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's something that's exciting. And I wrote kind of in the, again, the pre-show article, is this sustainable? And I think, yeah, unless there's like catastrophic injuries to this team or a COVID outbreak or something, and obviously we're knocking on wood there with that, this is absolutely a pace that he can continue on.
Yes, without a doubt. Because like you said, we've seen it before. The only thing that would change is if something drastic happens to the team, like Adam Pellick is out with an Achilles tear, or Adam Pellick and Ryan Pulock are out, right? Like, That's the only thing that's going to stop this from happening, really.
Yeah, and it's been really fun to watch. The unfortunate part, if you want to find an unfortunate part, is that Ilya Sorokin hasn't been able to play because of how good Varlamov's been.
That's just right. He's got four games. He's probably going to factor this weekend when they play the Pittsburgh Penguins twice in two days, which just makes sense. So he'll get his fifth game. Woo! But that's five games in at that point, probably 20, right? So at 18, 19, in 21 games over the season, he'll have played five. Woof. But he's getting reps in, right? So
I was going to say, though, can you really blame Barry Trotz?
No. No, again, you're getting Vezina-level goaltending out of Semyon Varlamov. You can't be like, but we got to get the kid playing. Yeah, you do, but like Vezina, the kid.
You have to find that balance, which is not an easy thing. But the tough part, too, it's only a 56-game season. Like, you got to win every one of these games. So it's not like, let's give the kid a shot on a random Tuesday night. No, all these games count. And they're all 4-point games because it's all divisional stuff.
Exactly. Like maybe near the end, right, where you're like, okay, we've got a playoff position locked, although that might not happen till the very, very end.
Right.
But if you think you're going to get a playoff position, or you're playing, let's say you're 35 games in and the New Jersey Devils, who are at the bottom, I believe, of the standings for the division, they might be close to it. Sorry, the Buffalo Sabres will say. Buffalo are done. Like, there's no way. Tyler Hall is already gone somewhere else. Jack Eichel is waiting for the Rangers to pick up the phone. That's maybe when you play Sorokin, right? Like, I could see them doing that on a random Tuesday. Like, yeah, let's put Sorokin in against, like, the hapless Buffalo Sabres. Even if we lose this one, it's not going to be a 4-point game because, like, whatever. But even then, I don't see Barry Trotz doing it.
No, you got to know when to pick your spots, and that's the thing right now. It's only going to be on the back-to-backs, or, and obviously we're not rooting for this, but if Varley does start to, you know, stumble a little bit, then you maybe throw in Sorokin and see what happens.
Yeah, you're going to have to at some point throw him in. So, like, you're right. They got to get him some reps to just in case Varlamov stumbles. But like you said, I don't see it happening. I really don't see him stumbling that drastic. We're like, let's get the kid in here, send this guy out of here. We have too big of a runway now to be like, this is a fluke.
Right. And ironically, I think really the only team that he's struggled against, he being Varlamov's, been Pittsburgh. It seems like his three-goal games are usually against Pittsburgh. Everyone else, he seems to hold under three.
And then, to be fair, like, the team lays an egg in front of Pittsburgh as well, right? Like, most of the goals he's facing are defensive lapses, and you're like, can we really blame Varley for those?
No. Like, you get an awful turnover from Brock Nelson, and it's like, what is going on here?
Right, exactly. And like, no defensive cover from Kiefer Bellows. Like,
yeah. So you can't necessarily always put them on Varlama. But overall, have to be thrilled with how he's playing, no?
Oh, yeah, I can't. I want to find one person who's still like, God, we need Robin Leonard here. Okay, look, I get it. I know. And I know what Robin Leonard's doing right now. But, like, it looks like everything was fine. Everything is going according to plan when it comes to Semyon Varlamov. And don't come at me with like, well, what about last year? Put anyone in nets and that's happening last year. Anyone. I don't even care. Put Carey Price in there. It's still going to happen.
No, agree. And I think you could still feel like they did Robin Leonard dirty, but then at the same point say Semyon Varlamov's been fine. I think both things could be true.
Oh, both things are entirely true. Yes, they did Robin Leonard dirty. And would I like Robin Leonard here? Sure, but it doesn't mean like I would rather have Robin Leonard here than Semyon Varlamov. I'm not going to say that much.
Okay, I think that's totally fair. So with that, shall we get into the down on the farm, Mitch? I know you finally got your white whale.
I did it, man. I've been waiting for months to speak with Robin Salo. I've been trying for months. Literally, December 12th was the first time I was able to get into contact or get his contact information and finally be like, yes, here we go. But like things just happen. He's really busy. He's playing a ton. Like he's played 41 games for Orobro.
Wow.
And then he's playing for the Finnish team as well. So like essentially whenever there's a break in the season, he's gone. He's gone to play. He played in Russia for a weekend and then he played in Sweden a couple of weekends ago for Finland. That was his only time off and he's still playing.
I was going to say, though, that's got to be a good sign about where he is in his development if he's still playing this much.
Right. And like, he's not just some bit player for Finland either. He's playing in their top two, at worst, top four. He's a top four defenseman for the Finnish national team right now.
Okay. That's great.
Of course, that's not including NHLers. But no. That could very well change soon. But barring, like, he's on the Finnish B team. Let's just say that.
Okay. That's still good.
Right? Like that's huge. And so I finally spoke to him and the one thing that really stuck out to me is, so obviously the news with him is that he signed that 2-year deal and almost right away he's like, yeah, I'm glad it's done. It really took a while. We were at this for a long time during the season, which got me thinking, like, why does a 2-year ELC take so long to negotiate? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the right? logistics are. Yeah.
Cause like, you can do performance bonuses, but I don't know if he has any, and I don't see how, because Lou doesn't like signing those. He doesn't like giving out performance bonuses. I don't necessarily see any. There are no performance bonuses as far as I can tell. So there's nothing to it, and it's capped, right? Like the most you can make AAV is 925.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the negotiation at? As far as I could tell, it's on the fact that when it's on when it would start. Because also, like, CBA legislates, but puts a cap on the number of years, right? Like, because of his age, he can only get 2 years.
Correct, so, instead of the three.
Right, so, and he doesn't turn 23 until October, and they can't wait that long. They had to sign him by, I think it was June 1st, or else he'd become UFA.
Okay, so it's obviously a good thing they got that done because this is a second rounder we're talking about.
That's right, and second rounder who's putting up points, right? He's got 28 points in 41 games with Orobro, who are fifth or sixth as far as the standings are concerned in Sweden, and that's playoff position, and they're hoping for a championship as well. I don't think they'll get it, but like they're a pretty darn good team, and he's a big player for them. He plays, again, top 4 minutes, sometimes top 2 minutes for them. Good stuff.
Now, is the expectation that he'll come over for the AHL next year for 21-22?
So I tried to get him to bite on that, and everyone I asked, they don't know, or they're not saying, and he was very good in his answer, his deflectionary skills. He's very, like, you know, deflecting these
Lou
questions
trained him
away.
Well. Lou trained him well.
Apparently, in the one conversation, I guess. So yeah, he said, it didn't mention when he's going to make the start for the Islanders because he could technically play for them this year, I guess. I don't see it happening. That's just not something Lou Lamoriello would do.
No.
Just look at Noah Dobson. And then to come over for the AHL, I don't think is going to be a possibility just because of the season ends end of March for them. And then there's the playoffs and then there's quarantine. And by the time he gets here, it is going to be end of April, and I think that's when the AHL season is done. And if anyone thinks Bridgeport's getting into playoffs, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah, they're not. They're not going to be a playoff team. Okay. What do you see him as, like, long-term? Like, if you had to project what you think he is going to be, where do you have him ranked?
A top pair puck-moving defenseman. Think of Devontae's.
Okay. So you think he's going to be, like, a top pair guy in the NHL we're talking?
Top four. Sorry, did I say top pair? Yeah. I meant top four.
So first or second pair. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see him as a top pair guy now, but he's only 22, right? Like, so he's still pretty young.
Right, which was kind of on the same track Taze was when he came up. He was 24 when he came up, right?
That's correct.
So, okay. Something to keep note of, but I was just curious where you projected him as and stuff like that. I don't know as much about him. I know, obviously, if he's good enough to go in the second round, there's a pretty good chance he can make the NHL, but I was just curious to see what we projected him as for the future here.
I would see him as a top four puck-moving guy. He's not the fastest skater, but he's a really smart and effective skater for sure. He's not slow by any stretch of the imagination.
Okay, last question from me on Robin Salo. NHL, NHL ETA, where do you have it at?
I don't know if he's here by the end of his contract.
Ooh, okay.
And I don't think that's any reflection on him.
No.
I think that's a reflection on the organization. I think he will sign a bridge deal, and he'll probably be here during that bridge deal.
Okay. Which, if I'm not mistaken, that also happened with Devontae's.
Correctamundo. Yes, yes.
Yeah, it did.
Yes. The first year of his last, oh my God, bridge deal. So, yeah.
All right. Who else we got on this?
I'm liking these questions you have for me. There's one more thing he said that I really, when I mentioned the Lou rules to him,
oh, okay.
The last thing I said is like, look, you're coming into an organization with Lou. How do you feel about Lou's rules with like the clean cut hair, the clean shaven face, the low numbers? And he snickered. He doesn't care. He doesn't care at all whatsoever. Like he could care less about that.
Okay. That's a good thing.
They have like military rules for Finland. And so he's already used to that. Maybe not the numbers thing, but he's used to it. But yeah, he does it. He does it. He's like, I get to play the NHL. I don't care. I don't care.
I feel like if I was an athlete at that level and like, I don't know if you could tell me I'd wear no number on the back and I'll be like, okay, fine. I don't care. I'm playing in the league. What do I care? You know,
yeah. You're going to pay me some $800,000 to play hockey. Done. I'll shave more than my whatever. I'll take anything off. So.
Yep.
Okay, so I spoke to two other people this week. So maybe we just like focus on those. After I spoke to Robin Salo, I spoke to Raimo Helminen, who used to play for the Islanders. I spoke to him about his time with the Islanders, and I spoke to him about because he's the coach for TPS. That's a Liga side. TPS is a side in Liga who Ruslan Iskakov plays for. That was a very clumsy way of spilling that one out. And so I spoke to him about him because Ruslan Iskakov is having this kind of rejuvenation or I don't know what you want to call it, but like he's having a second wind now in Finland and he's starting to put up points big time.
That's good. We like point producing.
He's a second round pick as well. He's taken two picks after Bodie Wild in 2018 and he's up to 22 points on the season. Over the last 2 months, he's scored 16 of those.
Good for him. So he's coming into his own right now.
He's coming into his own. He's now playing on the second line. If anyone remembers about him, when I spoke to him about him earlier in the season, he got benched for a couple of games. And not just benched, but like scratched for a couple of games because his play just wasn't there. There was no consistency. The play away from the puck wasn't great. When I spoke to Raimo, he said, I completely trust him in the D zone now. He's a much, much better defensively. And so because of that, he bumped him up to the second line, and that's now where the points are starting to come in, right? He didn't score today, but the last two games before that, he had a back-to-back games with 2 points. So he's putting up 4 points in three games. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I'll take that any day.
And it's at the Liga level, so it's not like the highest caliber of play, but it's up there. It's borderline AHL level.
Okay. Well, We'll take that, though. Any kind of production and just him getting over from that benching a few months ago to now being a more relied on top six player, that's big in itself.
Exactly. It shows maturation for a kid who's, again, drafted in 2018. So, like, he's not old, but he's not young either. He's moving in the right direction, and that's exactly what you want to see from him.
That's great.
The last thing I wanted to get to was, so Helmanen played for the Islanders in 88, 89. He was actually drafted by the Rangers, and he went back to, anyways, that's the whole thing. And there's one thing that kind of stuck out to me in our chat is like, well, what do you really remember about that time? And he's like, Brian Trottier, ridiculously strong. Even then, because that was Trotz's, I call him Trotz, but like that was his 32-year-old season for Brian Trottier, mm-hmm. right? Had 45 points in 73 games. So like not at the same level, but he's like, no, man, he was super strong. So, like even for his age, he was really strong.
Still
which is
it.
Something that you got, like, the guy isn't big either, right? He's like 5'11". Yeah, 5'11", 195, last it says on Hockey Reference here. I'm sure he's probably ballooned a little bit more than that. NHL players typically do that in retirement. But he's apparently brick house, just super solid and strong.
Yeah, good on him, man. Good stuff.
And last one I spoke to, I actually spoke to this player. I spoke to Alex Jeffries. Just yesterday, and wildly impressive kid. I understand why the Islanders drafted this kid. Just I'm super impressed by everything this kid had to say.
Okay, what really stood out to you from the conversation?
So whenever I talk to these prospects, I always ask him what you're working on, and I always expect like a super stock answer. Like I'm working on my speed, my defensive play, and it ends there. But for him, it was a little bit more than that. He's like, I can work on those things too. But in the offensive zone, what I'm trying to work on is going at the net, stopping at the net rather than going around the net. Right? Like he would go past it. And I don't get that type of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like honest and specific answers. That's the one. Mm-hmm. Like a very specific area of the game that he has to work on, right? Like, so it gives you a sense of what he's trying to do and what he has in mind, and it's not just some like random talking point that he's giving me as well. And I thought that was wildly impressive, because it came off as matter of factly, like, well, that's just something I'm working on, that's what you asked me, that's what I'm giving you. There's no talking points, and I really like to hear that from a kid who's already putting up 10 points in 11 games and is a Hobie Baker nominee.
Yeah, that's great.
He's not going to win it. It's not going to happen.
No, but still, that's a really prestigious award at the NCAA level. And to have your name in the mix there is an honor.
Only two freshmen have ever won the award. Jack Eichel in 2015 and Paul Kariya in, I forget the year, 93, I think it is, maybe 94.
I've never heard of either of them.
110 points in like 30 games or something like that.
Never heard of either of them. So.
So you're right, though. He's in a short list of 50 players. I don't imagine he's going to make it into the second phase where they whittle it down to 10 guys. Mm-hmm. But that's fine. Just getting the nod shows you everything you need to know about this kid. Not only is he putting up points, but he's getting recognized for his play on the ice. It's just super great kid. This actually might be an okay draft for the Islanders if everyone they've drafted is trending and continues to trend in the way they're trending right now.
Perfect. That's great.
So that was the last one I had, the last update I had for y'all.
Sweet. Love it. Look forward to Down on the Farm every single week. So, Mitch, shall we get into the quiz?
Let's do it. As we do every week, I'm going to ask Matt five questions that get progressively easier to reveal a mystery New York Islander. We're episode 184, Matt. So this has something to do. This player has something to do with that. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right. Ready. Clue number one. I was a 17th overall pick at the NHL draft.
17th overall pick at the NHL draft. Next.
Of my 184 points, there's the link, with the Islanders, I scored 33 in my seventh and final full year with the team.
Seventh and final full year. Okay, next.
I played and coached a team. That's clue number three.
Played and coached the team?
Correct.
All right, so it's, I don't think it's Butch Goring.
It is not Butch Goring.
Okay. All right, next.
Next is, sorry, I just had to click something here. I won four cups with the team, but not all of them as a player.
Oh my God.
It's a dynasty player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep. So you're going to tell me and this is going to drive me nuts. Okay. Next.
So final clue. My last name is Henning, and I share the same first name as the creator of SNL.
Lorne Henning.
Correctamundo. Yeah.
I knew it was that error. I couldn't think of who it was.
The most debatable, what is it, class of 17, or the, oh my God, why can... Oh, the four, but anyways.
Of who is in the group of 17 from Four Cups.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the last one, he was assistant coach on the last
correct.
One.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. There's a better name for it, and I don't know why I'm blanking on the name. Someone at home is screaming bloody murder, and I don't blame them for doing so.
Core of Four?
There it is. Core of the Four, not Core of Four. Core of the Four. Four.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you. Oh, God, I don't know why I couldn't spit that one out.
That's quite okay. And I'm mad at myself. I knew that hint, but I couldn't think of the name.
It's fine. That's the fun of it, because everyone's like, Lorne Henning's at home.
I know.
It's good for them to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get into the social segment, see what's going around on Isles Twitter. What do you got for us this week, Mitch?
First one comes from Sportsnet. I think we all know who they are. And it's an interview with new Saskatchewan University head coach Mike Babcock.
Oh, boy.
And says, I knew when Lou left, I was getting fired. And I'm thinking Lou Lamoriello is going to have to run hard from that quote, because he does not want to get stuck with Mike Babcock right now.
No, I don't think you want to get roped in with Mike Babcock, 100%. He's an interesting guy, controversial. I don't know. Do you pin that on Lou, though?
No. Well, to a certain extent, it's not on Lou, but it's... When the GM gets replaced, typically the coach gets fired. Like, that's a thing in yeah. the NHL, right? Like, they got to bring their own guy in. But the new guy left him in there for, what, a year and a half after Lou left? Maybe even longer than that? No, a year and a half.
Yeah, it was a year and a half.
And they were underperforming. So, yeah, your time was probably short. You had a short leash, but you had already been there for 3 years, and you're the highest paid coach in the league by a margin, like a healthy margin.
Yeah.
If you didn't think your time was up when your team was underperforming, this is just like he's just getting salty now. Like, I'm mad that I got caught for being a bully. Yeah, well, maybe it's because you were being a bully, you jerk. What are we talking about here? Don't bring Lou into this.
Yeah, no, I don't see how that's on Lou. I'm with you.
No. So that was my first one. What about you?
First one, this is from the Islanders account on Twitter. So they released a statement regarding the return of fans to the home games. But what I wanted to talk about specifically, I thought, is something cool that they're doing. So fans are coming back on the 18th, but a week earlier on the 11th, they're hosting 1,000 Northwell Health frontline workers, which I thought was a really classy move from the organization.
Heck yeah, that's classy. It's the only thing that they can do of substance, right, to thank them. Like, they're a hockey team. They can give a bunch of money, and I'm sure they already have. Right. But, like, this is a showy form. Like, this is our product. Here's access to our product for free ahead of everyone else as a token of our gratitude. I don't know. That's pretty classy to me.
Yeah, 100%. And like you said, there's really no... They can't do enough to thank these people. Like, that's what I said, that it's nice that they're honoring them and they deserve this recognition and so much more. But it's, I thought it was a nice move for sure.
Oh yeah. I can't see anyone saying like, this is such a crappy move. Not read the room. This is not the thing you want to be saying right now.
No.
My second one here comes from The Fly, JP and VA. Who says, if anyone was wondering if Oliver Wallstrom belongs on the Isles, here's some evidence that he's filling a desperate need. When he starts converting at an average rate, there will no longer be any questions. So he's got a chart here. It's an Excel chart. And it essentially boils down to shots per 60. Okay. And Oliver Wahlstrom leads the team at 11.8 shots per 60. Next one is Anders Lee and then Jordan Eberle. So the fact that he's at the top probably doesn't surprise anyone based on the number of shots that he's getting, but it really puts it to frame, like, we have a shooter. We have a guy with a shoot-first mentality and, according to Barry Trotz, a world-class shot. Yes, like JP says, once he starts converting those chances, because he's shooting at 4.2%, that's going to go up. It will, and once it does, look out.
I don't expect him to be a career below 5% shooter.
No, he's going to probably trend closer to the, like, Jordan Eberle's at 13%, I think, over his career. Maybe 12.8. Yeah. If he shoots at that, so he has 24 shots right now, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Where's my calculator? So 24 times 0.12, 8, that's 3 goals on the season already. So he's too shy of that.
Okay.
We'll take that. We'll take that for sure.
Absolutely. My next one comes from Isles Territory. It says, 1 year ago today, the Isles traded for J.G. Pageau was always meant to be an Islander. Can't say enough about how well he fits with this team. Excited for the future with this guy. Mitch, a year ago today, a lot of people had some takes on Twitter, and most of them were wrong.
A lot of bad takes. Like, he's never going to live up to this production. I wrote about that today on the site. I didn't want to use anyone's tweets and kind of, like, gaslight them type of thing, because it's not fair a year later to be like, ha, 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 ha. But, like, yeah, there's a lot of, he's never going to do that again. Look at him now.
Yeah. Worth it and worth the extension. I love the move from Lou. That's a good
one. He's having a better year now than he was having in Ottawa during the trade.
Yeah. I mean, he is. You can't argue it.
And everyone was like, wow, he's playing top line minutes. That's why he's doing it. He's playing 3 minutes less per night right now and doing better. No, it's a teammate thing. It's a usage thing. This guy is class for sure.
And it also helped that on the team's run to the Eastern Conference final, he was a goal machine too. So very much worth it early on.
Right, like shooting 21.9% in the playoffs. That's incredible.
Yeah, I think that playoff performance alone spoke volumes for how much it was worth it. But this is just the cherry on top.
Exactly.
What else did you have, Mitch?
Last one from me, at Phil's Facts. The Isles power play currently ranks 12th in the league at 23.1%. This was written on February 23rd, so perhaps it's changed a little bit, but the sentiment still remains the same. They are one spot ahead of the Colorado Avalanche, who are just behind them at 23%. Yes, you read that correctly.
Okay.
The Islanders power play is indeed, that's the correct percentage. I'm just not sure about the standings anymore. I'm just going to bring it up right now because, again, that was done on the 23rd, so there's been some games since then. So if we do power play percentage, the Islanders, 23.1%, still ahead of the Colorado Avalanche because I guess they didn't play, by 0.1%. The Colorado, led by Devontae's Avalanche, have a worse power play than the Islanders.
I hear Nathan MacKinnon is also good on the power play. Just a
right?
rumor I've heard.
Rantanen, all these other guys. Still, the Islanders have a better power play than they do. They have, yeah, exactly, right? So this is great. We've been wanting this for years, and it's finally freaking happening. Love it.
Can't trade your puck-moving defenseman, though. sorry. So before we go, let's get some plugs in here, Mitch. So wherever you're listening to the show, please make sure to give a rating, subscribe, review. We really appreciate that. It helps us out a lot. So thank you for all of the support. You can follow along with us on social media at Eyes on Isles FS on Twitter. My Twitter is Matt O'Leary NY, and Mitch is over at TLO Mitch. Facebook, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. You could also visit the website, eyesonisles.com, for your New York Islanders needs. And check out the Patreon, patreon.com/EyesOnIsles. $5 a month gets you a post-game show for every single game. It gets you a mailbag show, which we're about to record right after this. It gets you a live stream with Mitch. It gets you a great community of Islanders fans. And you could also win prizes, as one of our boy Spiz over there is... dangling a nice fun prize for some pregame predictions, right, Mitch?
He is, it seems. So, like, If you want to know more about it, just go to the Patreon. I don't want to put it out there.
Exactly. That's a Patreon only exclusive. So that'll do it for us on episode number 184. Thank you so much for tuning in. I am Matt O'Leary. He is Mitch Anderson, and we'll talk to you next time.